their husbands, to love their children. And again, folks, God is giving them instructions on what they're supposed to teach. Teach that. Set the example for them. Amen? You see, that's so important that young people have people ahead of them that is setting an example for them. Okay? And then he says that they may, says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, this is not Preacher Ross saying this. This is what the Bible says. He said you're to be discreet, you're to be chaste, you're keepers at home, good, obedient to your own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, any other thing blasphemies the word of God. No. We're to be that. You say, yeah, I know, but it's no. God says to do it. Amen. Why? We're to teach the young women, the ladies are to teach the young women that. Set the example for them. And then he goes on and he says, in all things, he said in verse number 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. And he gives some words to the young men, how they're supposed to be. I'm going to skip over in just a few moments, but there's a portion of Scripture over in Ephesians that I want to cover just for a few moments. But folks, we ought to be more sober-minded about the things of life. We ought to be more sober-minded about it. And we ought to be teaching those that's coming up behind us that we are sober. We're putting forth a right kind of teaching, a right kind of life. And that sets, again, an example. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And he goes on to say, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. But we could read on down through that, and there's wonderful instructions that God says that we should teach those coming up behind us. Okay? This is serious business. Okay? Now, that's our responsibility to teach. I'm going to go over back over to Book of Ephesians for just a moment, and I want to show you something. The fifth chapter of the Book of Ephesians says, verse number 1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And that's the fifth chapter of Ephesians, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He gives, again, some instructions on how to live. Here, quite a few years back, you all remember Brother Alley. Most of you do, Brother Forrest Alley. He came to me back, he was standing in the foyer back there one day, and he said, Pastor, he said, I've been thinking about something. I said, okay. He said, I read in the Scripture just the other day, he said, about this foolish talking and jesting. And he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I do an awful lot of kidding around. And so we talked a minute, and he said, you know, I don't know. Is that wrong for me to do that? And I said, well, who's talking to you about this? Who reminded you of this? Well, he said, I kind of think when I was reading the Scripture, the Lord mentioned it to me. And I said, then you ought to listen to him. But I said, listen to me. We're not going to all walk around with sober faces and ever have any fun. We're not talking about that. But God says don't overdo it. Because let me tell you something. There's too many serious things to be done. He came back to me later and he said, you know, I'm going to try to just kind of cut some of that out. He was always a jokester. And truthfully, everybody had fun with Brother Alley. He told me the story one day about him buying the new axe. Have you ever heard that one? Heard that one? He said, I bought a double-edged axe, Pastor. I said, what'd you buy that for? He said, well, Beulah, when she's cutting wood, she can hit it back this way, and then she can hit it this way. And that was Brother Alley. He was always telling something like that. And that was all right. Honestly, it was. They had a lot of fun, and I wouldn't want people to walk around here with sober faces and not have any enjoyment and not have any fun. But let's don't overdo it. See, that's the whole thing in the scriptures. It's balance. Because there's a lot of serious things to talk about. Amen? Just like he's already told us about all these things that we ought to be reminded of. Amen? Now, please don't quit having a good time. Please don't quit enjoying yourselves and jesting with one another. I'm just saying, put some balance in it. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you, the times we live in is real serious. Real serious. And see, some people are more apt to do that than others. Nothing wrong with that. It's good to have a good time. But will you just kind of remember that it's also time to speak of some serious things. First thing that I believe we can do to help those below us is be a good example. Years ago, after Donna and I were saved, we started attending a church in Brazil, Indiana, Trinity Baptist Church. There was two men in this church and their wives. And let me say this first of all. You will never find a perfect person. You will never find a perfect example. Do you understand me? We're not asking for perfection. If it was so, we'd all have to go jump off of a cliff somewhere, I guess. We're not perfect. These men and their wives were not perfect, okay? But God, I think, put us into that church, and especially me, and what I was going to be, was a pastor. These two men set a good example. They were older at the time. I'm going to say they probably, I was around close to 30. They were probably somewhere around 50s, in their 50s somewhere, I'm going to guess, probably. But these two men, they set an example of life before me. They were older, and I respected them. And even, you know, in their marriage, I didn't know personally all the things. I didn't know all that. But they treated each other with dignity. I believe it's so important that we in this church set a great example in our marriage. Why? For the younger ones. I mean, not just for that, but for those coming up. And they set an example for us. Let me share something with you. In all the years that I've pastored, we, Donna and I, have received a lot of notes. Okay? That's just the way it is. We're pastor, and there'll be people write us notes. And let me tell you one thing, most of the time, everybody always said, thank you for the good example. Now, was we... You know we weren't, okay? You understand what I'm trying to say, though? Is the example says things that nothing else can say. Okay? The example set forth, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a life, because not always are you going to be able to affect other people's lives on a personal basis, like there's a lot of people in this church. You're not going to be able to affect everybody every Sunday, but you can set an example. And I've said it many times, there's people been coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church for years and years and years, and they just been faithful. Amen. I mean, I don't know whether you know it or not, but that sets an example. Just about ever, as I said, about every note that I've ever received, and I have a stack of them in my file, still kept them. And about every one of them will say, thank you for the example, Pastor. Thank you and Mrs. Ross for the example. Okay? With that example, you can't get around that thing. Okay? So I'm simply saying to you, please, please remember that. No one expects you to be perfect. I've said it many times. You know, I said it about my family when I was trying to win them to Christ. I can't be perfect. And I won't be exactly perfect, and they'll accept that. Yeah, they will. They'll accept that. But they won't accept a hypocrite. They'll accept the fact, they may give you a hard time, but they'll accept the fact that you're not perfect. You're a human being. But they won't accept a hypocrite. Okay? So I'm just saying to you, example is one of the greatest things that you can set before other people. And that is an extended thing. That's a continuous thing. For years and years, they can watch and see the loving relationship that you had with your husband and your wife, not that you were perfect, but that you just had a good relationship. That sets an example, okay? And also these men, their speech was honorable speech. Never did hear one of them ever curse. Never did hear one of them ever give me a slang language and that kind of thing. Their speech was always correct as well as they could be, you know. And how they looked, they was modest dressers. They always looked nice when they come to the house of God. I'm not talking about fancy with tuxedos. I'm just talking about they just looked nice. They just kept themselves nice. Okay? And faithful, they were just there. When the doors were open, they were there. Okay? They's faithful. They backed their preacher. I don't know. I was a young man just not too long saved, but I didn't know the inner workings of the church, but I never seen anything outside of that they just backed their preacher. They set example. Okay? You see, so I needed to be taught. And one of the greatest ways that I could have been taught was example. And I think God put me in a place so that I could watch these men. I, at the time, didn't even realize it. But he put me there so I could watch them and try to be more like them. Understand? So what am I asking you? I'm asking you, just be an example. Just be an example to these young ones down here. Don't let them hear the wrong kind of speech. Let them see the right kind of marriages. Amen? They need to see that. They don't need to just hear about it. Our preacher will preach to them. He's doing that down there right now. He calls it the home builders class. That's what he's doing. Okay? But words are only as good as actions back them up. Amen. You see what I'm saying? So I'm encouraging you. I'm not getting on you. I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying, please, I'm encouraging you. Be a great example for these that's coming up behind us. Set that forth. All right. For years, I've sat on this platform up here for years and years and years. I certainly don't want to say, because about that time you say always, maybe there was a time I didn't, but I would put my tithes and offerings in the plate. Then on Sunday night when the plate was passed, I would stand and go up and put something in the plate. I'd already put my tithes and offering in it. You know the reason I done that? So these kids out here, all these kids, could see Pastor Ross putting something in the plate every time the plate passed. Now, you don't have to do that. I'm not asking. I'm talking about that's what I did. Done that for years, and I still try awful hard to do that. You know, why? Well, I don't mind giving, but it's just that I want the young kids to see somebody putting that offering there. It's an example. Amen? And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about example. Now, I want to go over to Galatians, the sixth chapter of Galatians. Sixth chapter, and I want to read verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. The Bible says there in verse 5 that every man shall bear his own burden. He says in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. I want to try to explain this to you. In verse number 1, he talks about that if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. That is a truth of the Bible. God says that if we are spiritual, we'll do our best to restore someone who's been overtaken in a fault. That word overtaken speaks of someone almost like it slipped up behind him and grabbed him. All right? It wasn't something maybe that he planned to do and been, it was in his heart, and it just seemed like it came up behind him and grabbed him. He's overtaken in a fault. And he said, if you're spiritual, what is it we're supposed to do? Condemning? No, we're to help restore him. And again, that's one of the things that I would like very much to you to keep an eye on. I'm not talking about going out there and going out and doing something wrong, but it's the matter of encouragement. Example, encouragement. There's a way to encourage the brethren. There's times when they're down. I mean, they're just down. You understand what I'm talking about? I had someone call me the other day and said, Brother Ross, he said, oh, Satan was all over me. I mean, he was kicking me everywhere until I got this thing in the mail. And he told me about it. And he said, God just lifted my heart. You see, it's not them little things. I mean, the big things. It's the little things. Believe this. Believe this. It's those little things that make big things. And most of the time, it's the little things that make a difference. And let me tell you how you know what to do. If you will just listen to the Lord, He knows exactly what needs to be done. All you have to do is listen to Him. Listen to His promptings. He will prompt you to do things for other people, to say a word to someone, encouraging word to someone else. He will do that if you'll listen to Him. The Holy Spirit of God will lead you. If you'll listen, if you make yourself available, you say, Lord, if you've got something for me to do today, you just tell me and I'm going to do it. I'll do my best. I'm not much, but I'll do my best. And most of the time, it's not much He asks. It could be just a little thing. Okay? I need some man to help me. Just, I don't care. Jack, it'd be all right. Your hand, the way it is. Bring about three songbooks. Can you do that? It wouldn't. This is a man carrying a burden, and he's getting a little bit weaker. He isn't going to last too much longer. Now, let me show you what I can do. I can't take his burden, but let me show you what. Is that better?
That's better.
Yeah.
Just stand there.
Yeah, I'll just stand right there. Thank you. Now, his real problem, real quickly, his real problem is he was carrying them wrong. If he had carried him down here, he'd have been all right. But sometimes when troubles come, we carry it wrong. And what we need, thank you, what we need is someone just to kind of, okay? Just put a shoulder underneath it. Okay? You can't take their burden. That's why he said, every man shall bear his own burden. I can't take Tommy's burden. It's his. But I can kind of... Okay? And that's what I'm asking you to do, is keep an eye out. I know you need it sometimes too. I know that. You need it too. We all do. But keep an eye out for these coming up behind us. Because sometimes they go through some pretty tough times, and all they need is just maybe a little bit of a shoulder. Maybe help them to get it arranged here where they're carrying it right. They'll be okay. All right? Encouragement. Example and encouragement. And then also exhorting. I want to take a few moments. Go over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. The word exhort means to call to good, to call someone to do good, to do right. It's not exhorting someone to do bad, it's exhorting them to do good. It's a call to them. And there's times when we need to keep our eye out and make sure that these younger ones, as I say, and that could be from a child on up, but sometimes we have to help them by exhorting them, not in a mean way, not in an unkind way, but exhorting them to do right, okay? Because sometimes people just get off step, and they do. And sometimes they need just someone, a friend or a person who loves them, just to kind of walk up to them and find out how they're doing and exhort them to keep doing right. Okay? You notice in Hebrews 10th chapter, 23rd verse, he said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You notice there he said we're to provoke unto love and to good works. We're to provoke one another to do right, to exhort one another. When someone, you know, it may be, maybe all God would ask you to do is pray for them. I don't know. But have your hearts open to be a blessing to these that's coming up behind. Because there's going to be times, folk, there are going to be times when they don't do so good. I didn't. All right? I went through times. It's hard, difficult. But thank God for some brethren in Christ that just had a kind word, just wanted to encourage, wanted to exhort me along the way. Okay? And that's what the Lord, I believe, wants us to do. Now, I'm going to go over to the book of Acts, the second chapter of the book of Acts. And I know you're going to say to me, "Brother Ross, a lot of times people don't want to listen." I'm well aware. I'm well aware of that. And you've got to be awful careful, because you want to be sure of one thing. If there's a two-by-four in your eye, you're not going to be the one that'll do much good and try and take a splinter out of someone else's. Okay? Don't work that way. So you kind of want to be sure that you've kind of got that two-by-four out of yours before you're ready to take a splinter out of someone else's. Okay? But at the same time, God tells us to exhort one another, provoke one another to love. And I think, again, I think that's very important. Second chapter, verse number 40. "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this toward generation." We could have read more of that, but the reason I wanted to read that, he said with words. Exhorting usually comes with words. It's something that you can say. Okay? You exhort them. You call them to do good. And it's usually words. Look at the 27th chapter. Be there in a minute. 27th chapter, the 22nd verse. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Did you notice they was about ready to, they was in a ship. They was going to crash. They was going to sink, possibly. And he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. There's times, folks, when people are just down in the dumps. That's life. Okay? No, we oughtn't to live there, but it happens. I don't think there would be anybody in here say, I'm always happy, I'm always right on top of everything, and I've always done everything right. And no. You haven't. You just lied. Amen. You, like the rest of us, there's been times when you've just been down. Not okay, no, I'm just saying you have. Well, what do we need? Sometimes we need somebody just to be of good cheer. I mean, it's words. Okay? Words are powerful. Now they are. They're powerful. But make sure you use them correctly, rightly. Amen? Let us look again. I think we've got about a minute. 1 Thessalonians. The 4th chapter. And verse 1:3. Furthermore, that we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how we ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, and this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. You see the words that he uses? Please walk with God, he says. Please, he said, you ought to walk and to please God. You see what I'm saying? There's times, folks, people just need that kind of exhortation. Okay? And let me say this. I got to quit. You can't do that if all the time you are jesting and making fun. Amen? There has to be times of seriousness. Okay? And I hope this has helped, be a little blessing to you and encouragement to you. And I'm just wanting you to be best you can, to be good examples for these folk coming up behind us. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, that you are coming again. In Jesus' name.